What we do to the land, we do to the water. What we do to the land, we do to the sea. What we do to the land, we do to the rivers. What we do to the land, we do to you and me.
All right, welcome back to the Public Lands Podcast. We are here at beautiful Holden Village in right above Lake Chelan, Washington. And I'm here with the directors, executive directors, I believe, of Holden Village that are in their fourth year of their fifth year term. And it's Peg Carlson Hoffman and Chuck Hoffman. So thank you both so much for giving your time with your busy days. Thanks, Chuck and Peg, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Glad you're here in the village.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. And I want to talk to you today about the stewardship activities here at Holden. I know it has an impressive history that goes back decades. As a mine, it goes back further than that. Mm-hmm. So let's maybe start there. How interesting to set up a Lutheran retreat village where there was a mine and where remediation, I believe, is ongoing. Can you tell us a little bit about that remediation effort with the mine?
Well, I'd like to go back even farther than that to talk just briefly to say that this is an amazing natural geological intersection of beautiful mountains and valleys and all the things that entails. And then also just to add a little bit that the indigenous peoples that were here first used this as they called the way through. And so there were a lot of peoples that were here well before the mine that used this as a gathering place for medicines and for a place to pass through, mostly. Because of our elevation, you wouldn't have built anything here until you could have heat. But at the lower elevations, there were people living. But up here, the first people to actually settle into this land were the people that came and took the mine.
Yeah, the conditions are such up here. We get over 270 inches of snow in the winter, and we can get, I think, the highest snowfall was nearly 500 inches one year. So to survive up here takes a little bit of ingenuity,
yeah,
and perseverance. So, but it's a beautiful land. It's a beautiful place in this valley all year round. But the miners came in the 30s. And to mine copper. I think there were people out looking before that. But it was heavily mined in the 40s, and into the 50s when the price of copper dropped and they abandoned. It was heavily mined during World War II to supply that effort, copper and other metals that came out of the mine. And the byproduct, the tailings, became a problem. So when Holden became Holden Village, the education center up here, we had tailings. And so back, I don't know when it began, but conversations with previous owners of the mine were attempting to get it cleaned up. A lot of stuff had starts and stops that really didn't work. And then Rio Tinto came along, and they are actually responsible for the remediation that has gone on now.
Yeah, and I want to say a little bit about the after the mine closed in the 50s when World War II ended and the price of copper dropped. They just closed the mine, and basically Holden Village, it looks almost like it did then. The buildings are still the same buildings that were here during the mining period. And they tried to sell it. The mining company tried to peddle it as a ski resort and a couple of other things, but it's so remote that nobody ever bought it. And there was a crazy guy named
Wes Pree
who wrote to them and said, well, I'll buy it for a dollar. And he kept bugging them. And sure enough, the mining company sold it to the Lutheran Church for a dollar.
Wow, that's fascinating. And what you've been doing since, I'm taken back to a place like the Berkeley Pit in Montana, where it was copper as well, and they're getting to that critical line where they're having difficulties dealing with mine remediation. What sort of efforts are going on? And as well, I think the interpretive effort that you're telling people about it and educating people about this issue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rio spent, Holden Village closed in 2000, the end of 2012, the season. And then the remediation began, and then the village reopened. We were directors at that time, and it reopened in 2016, at least partially open. And then our first full guest season was 2017. So they have responsibility for the water quality here for the next 200 years. So they had to build a water treatment plant, and then, of course, then how do they staff that? So there's about 12 that are about a mile outside of the village here that are responsible for monitoring.
It's just an enormous project. Some of that has happened on some of the land that Holden actually own, and some of it is, most of it is public lands owned by the Forest Service.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So it's a great, I mean, we look at it, it's an education site. So we bring in a lot of scientists to look at this. I mean, there's a lot of different issues that you could speak into. It's like care for the earth and what is our responsibility for ongoing mining. I mean, what we purchase and what we decide to do is not sustainable. So to have lessons in there on that. This mine, too, is still the cost of this $700 million project, $500, $600 million, you kind of lose track of numbers there, as a result of World War II. So it's really should be on the tab of World War II because of the mining efforts. We're going towards that war effort. So as we think about war going forward, what does that mean not only to the scarring of the planet, but what does that financially mean, let alone lives and all the other stuff that comes into
that conversation? So the externalities that Rio Tinto or others can have, that much like Hanford, speaking of World War II site, right. The largest Superfund site also.
Yeah. So we bring in a lot of teachers to speak into that and talk about that, and what is our role, what do we play in, and what can we do with that?
Mm-hmm. The other thing that might be important to note, especially about this, is that in the remediation process, the water is mostly a water project. So it's how do we get the heavy metals out of the water? So it goes through a process where those metals are settled out into a cake that's formed and compressed, and that those metals actually go back up
into the tailings,
into the mountain, or by the mountain where they all began. Mm-hmm. So it's like you need to learn how to. We need to all learn how to live with the woundedness that we've created as a human beings. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful actually metaphor of how do we learn to live with our own woundedness. Mm-hmm. And how do we learn to live with a wounded earth that we've been very busy destroying?
And so Holden, I think, as a locus, a sort of center for the Lutheran Church in terms of that kind of learning, stewardship, etc., I would think that one of your main functions is all these people come from all over the country, probably beyond, and hopefully take those lessons back to their own areas, their own places. Is that sort of an element of what you do here as well?
Yeah, and then I would also say that it's beyond Lutheran, that we're very ecumenical and moving in a direction of interfaith and then non-faith. I mean, what are the conversations we have with our scientists too, or all people? The earth is a problem for all of us. It's our only home. But that is part of our drive and vision as directors, is to continue that Holden Village as an education renewal center. That sometimes we get hung up on the word retreat because we're not really retreating from anything, that we're actually coming and providing and calling, equipping, and sending people to go home with maybe lessons learned. So that's why Peg and I have been so focused on attracting faculty from around the world. to talk about all types of subjects, from the sciences to eco-theology to the arts, and what voice does the arts have in this conversation going forward. Peg and I are both visual artists and very much work in the intersection of sort of reconciliation, not only with one another, but with the earth itself. So we feel that all those disciplines really need to come to the table to figure out our way forward. But Holden has a lot of principles, and they've been instilled for a long time. Like, we have a village garbologist, so we are very try to streamline from our food philosophy and the cost of bringing that food up on a barge. That's the only way we can get stuff here. So
yeah,
there's
a lot to
consider.
We only have 52 days a year of weather growing that would grow something, so we can't grow our own food, so we don't have a long enough growing season. So that's the biggest outreach as far as food goes, that we can't do that. But everything else, like, we're off the grid. We have a hydropower plant. And our biggest thing is trying to practice. That's what we do at Holden Village. I mean, there's a community that lives here year-round, and what we do is practicing it, living. We like to call it the disciplined pursuit of less, like pursuing less, because we're past sustainability now. I mean, we can't sustain on this earth what we're already doing. So we really have to pursue less. But in the process, how do we live with what we have? So in the winter, when the water starts to trail off, our power goes down. So instead of having 400 people in the village, we can only have 140, because we can only
generate
so much power. And as the power goes down, different things go off in the village. Like, the first thing that goes, it's always so sad, is when the dryers go. All the dryers get turned off, and then
we learn to live without that.
Yeah, and then the washing machines get turned off, and you know, all of the power sucking kinds of things go.
So you scale to your resources. That sounds so un-American.
It is un-American. Well, I mean,
no, but that's right. Yeah,
it's probably closer. Yeah. I know it sounds kind of dopey, but it's like really kind of fun. Like, how little power can we actually live on? And and I will say that you know, we do switch to a wood source of heat when we get down that low, but we have a lot of, since the fire, we have a lot of dead and burned trees to use for fires, so that is helpful.
Yeah, but the scaling back is really, I mean, that's been a good discipline of less, and you know, it comes into our food philosophy and buying local food down lake and bringing that up, but to making sure that we use the food that's created, right? We don't try not to have waste. And then we do our own garbology, which we have a village garbologist that really then focuses on how to turn those food scraps back into compost that goes back into the earth. And
you might
probably
have smelled
smell
it outside,
right outside
the window.
The building here today, because it's being spread for
on some
grass
of the grass.
Stuff,
to,
so.
Sure.
But so everything is very much streamlined, and there's a lot of effort put against that too, to make sure that we're not wasting anything
Makes
that
sense.
Comes up here. Yeah,
you know, it's in addition to, you mentioned the fun aspect of it, it also sounds like a lot of work. And I think it's probably joyful work for you, but I'm sure it is a lot of work. And the last question I'll have for you is, I always like to find out how people come to these positions. For one thing, a lot of students listen to this podcast. How did you get to this point where you wanted to be executive directors at Holden, and how did you come to Holden?
Well, that's really an interesting question, because I think part of it was that we'd reached a time in our life. Both of us are from corporate America. I worked for Hallmark Cards for 21 years as a creative director, as an artist and a creative director. And for me, it was time to give back, time to go someplace that was just more of a giving back thing than an acquiring. Well, we were done acquiring, for sure.
And we're both artists, so we are very circuitous in our our process. And so I think it was not a career path, for sure. So I think it came through a lot of different ways. We're both, we had corporate lives, and I left my corporate life and I went to study art and theology in a seminary. And we both, well, we both have that interest at that intersection. I think it was like a whole series of events that really brought us to connection here. We teach, we paint together, we exhibit together and lecture together. And through that process, we met someone who said, "Have you heard about Holden Village?" And we hadn't. We were teaching another retreat sort of centers or art arenas, centers, yeah. Arenas. But then Holden was introduced to us, so we came up here and taught in 2012. And then it was one of my advisors in seminary. And so after I was done with school and I was doing a project up there, I got to talking to him and said, you know, we enjoyed our time. How do we get more involved? Not thinking that it would be this. We thought maybe artists in residence for a little while or something. But then he said, would you be interested in at least applying and going through the process to be executive director? So we discerned and we thought, well, yeah, we wanted to live in a community like this. And we thought education is, and the arts are out of focus for us. And so we applied and went through the process, and lo and behold, out of all the candidates, it landed on
I think artists are particularly important at this time in our history of our country. And Chuck and I have been involved with several different organizations and communities, and one of the executive directors is now a poet. You know, there's all sorts of poets, yeah, I mean, there's... I think organizations are really understanding that artists have developed a sense of imagination, and it's it helps you think in lots of different ways about what can be new. And I think that it's fun to see organizations tap into artistic power.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're all glad that you brought your power to this position. Chuck, I think you had one more other thought. I interrupted you there. Okay. I was just going to say thank you both for doing the work you do here, and wish you luck in your next year and a half and all that you're doing. So this is Peg Carlson Hoffman and Chuck Hoffman, executive directors at Holden Village. So I think everybody should be encouraged to come here at some point in their life, shouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Yes, please come. Yes, it's such a unique place to come and be part of.
What we do to the air, we do to the water. What we do to the air, we do to the sea. What we do to the air, we do to the river. What we do to the air, we do to you. And